Lord, as we come before you this morning, we ask that as we open this portion of Proverbs, that you would speak to us, that you would engage our hearts and our minds, so that we might go from here not only having met with you, but knowing how to live more for you. And we pray this in your name. Amen. I think many of you probably watched that American show called Survivor. Maybe you've seen the Thank You t-shirt that says, in America they call it Survivor, in South Africa we call it Camping. But in that American show Survivor, what they do is they select, it's about 20, 25 people, and they dump them on an island. Sometimes they stop the boat short of the island and they have to swim to the island pretty much with the clothes that they have on their back. And then they are told to get on and survive. And so for them, the basics become the essential ingredient in life. They need to find food. They need to find shelter or make shelter. And they need to find warmth. During the show, there are various tasks that take place by the game organizers. And if you win these tasks, you win various essential items that can help you in your daily living. It might be a jar of rice so that you don't have to spend so long looking for food in the jungle. It might be a machete so that you can cut branches so that you don't have to break them with your hands. It could be a box of matches to start a fire. Winning in this show called Survivor is the key to survival. The more tasks you win, the longer you last in the game. Now in life, we might say that the key to survival in this life is something similar. We need to have a good job. We need to earn a good salary. We need to have all our needs and wants met. Perhaps it means having the right security system or the right friends. Now, all those things are great and there's nothing wrong with them. But will that help us with life? And I'm not just talking life in this world for the 70, 80, 90 years that we might be in it. I'm talking about eternal life, everlasting life. Will those things, the good job, the great salary, the right security, the good friends, having all our needs and wants met, will that provide us with a key to survival? Well, I've entitled the talk this morning, "The Key to Survival is Wisdom." Because that's what Solomon goes on to talk about here. If life is a game of survivor, the way to survive this life is wisdom. Well, I'm saying quite a big statement there, so let's explain what's going on here and why I make that statement. So if you have a look at chapter 2 in verses 1 to 5 and my first comment this morning, the wise listen to God's instructions. Solomon tells us that if we hope to be wise in this world, if we hope to survive into the next, then we need to listen to the words that he is speaking. Now remember in our first talk when we had a look at, or in our second talk when we had a look at chapter 1 and verse 8 where Solomon speaks, "Listen, my son," we spoke about the relationship of parents to children. But we also spoke about the fact that Solomon is speaking to those who are under his teaching. And so the same idea goes here. My son, if you accept. He's not just talking to the guys here or to the children of parents. He's talking to all of us. My children, we could say, as God speaking to us. And he says here, verse 1, "If you accept my words, if you store up my commands within you, if you turn your ear to wisdom, if you apply your heart to understanding, and if you call out for insight, and if you cry aloud for understanding, and if you look for it as for silver, and if you search for it as hidden treasure." You see what we are to do with wisdom? We are to look for it. If we want to be wise, then we need to search for it. We need to accept the words that are spoken to us. The words of God the Father. The idea here is not just saying, yeah, cool, I know it, and in our minds, but it's the idea of applying it as well. There are people at school who can learn absolutely parrot fashion. If the textbook says this, they will repeat exactly word for word what the textbook has to say. And they normally get very good marks. But has that information stuck into their heads? Does it change their life in any way? Well, often, when you take them outside of the classroom, you leave their textbook behind and you show them the reality of that thing, they do not have a clue. The idea here is that as if we are to be wise, we are to internalize and to take hold of what we are taught. We are to turn our ear to wisdom, not listening to all the confusing things out there in the world, but turning our ear to the wisdom of God, investigating the truth, seeking the truth, as the Bible tells us. I once owned a flight simulator game on the computer. Someone gave it to me and I had a little joystick and it was great fun. You learned how to take off and then you learned how to fold the landing gear in and then to fly around, and you learned how to land the aeroplane, and then it came to the whole communication issue where you had to communicate and stuff, and I lost it a bit there. But I could fly the plane fairly well. I seldom crashed. But does that mean that if I could fly this aeroplane on the flight simulator on the computer, does that mean I could fly a real aeroplane? Well, I would hope not. It's a bit like knowing the theory of riding a bicycle. Oh, riding a bicycle is easy. Just jump on and pedal and then you'll go forward. It's one thing knowing the theory of something, isn't it? It's another thing being able to do it. We might know the theory of riding a bicycle, but can we? And that's what Solomon is saying here in chapter 2, verses 1 to 5. We might know the theory of God's word, but can we put it into practice? Are we actualizing what we have seen in God's word? That's what Solomon's saying here. If you accept my words and actually do them, if you store up my commands within you, and so they become part of your life, if you turn your ear to wisdom and not to the foolish things of the world, if you apply your heart to understanding. You see what Solomon's saying here? It's the whole idea of calling out for insight. We want to know more. We cry aloud for understanding, as Solomon says in verse 3. We are seeking it. We want to find out more about who God is. So not only are we taking to heart what God is saying to us and applying it to our lives, but we have this eagerness to want more. We have this eagerness to learn more about God, for understanding, crying out, calling out, please, can we learn more about you, God? Solomon uses the reference here in verse 4 of seeking out silver. Now that might seem like a weird thing for us to seek out. Surely he should have meant seek out gold. But in the time that Solomon was writing, silver was the rare metal, not gold. Solomon's palace was covered in gold. It was prolific. Silver, on the other hand, at the time of Solomon, was more valuable than gold. And so when Solomon says, seek out the hidden treasure as you seek out silver, he's meaning, look for it hard. Silver's not easily found in Solomon's day, so spend effort and time and energy looking for it. You might have heard of a lost treasure somewhere. I know there are people, they call themselves treasure hunters, and they go looking for old tales of sunken ships that carried huge amounts of valuable things. And they go and look for them, and they spend years trying to find these things. Archaeologists look for the hidden treasures in tombs and for where people might have buried stuff. That is the idea that we are to have with God's Word. The wise want to learn. They accept. They want to hear what God has to say. The wise listen to God's instructions. But you might notice here that there's this word if that comes up quite regularly in these opening verses of chapter 2. And that if is a conditional or a clausal phrase. If you do this. So there's the option there. We don't have to. We don't have to listen to God's word. We don't have to apply it to our hearts. But Solomon is saying, if you do these things, then notice verse 5. Then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. So we don't have to do these things. But then we are not going to know what it means to fear the Lord. We are not going to know who God is and how God saves us and how God brings us to salvation. There is the choice. But if we want God, if we want to be with God, if we want to know who God is, then we need to do what God has said. We need to listen to God's instructions. Now, friends, there are many religions in the world that claim to lead us to complete wisdom, to absolute knowledge. But Solomon tells us here the only way to complete wisdom and to absolute knowledge is to know who God is. Through a fear of him, through a respect and awe given to him. Think for a moment that you're in a lecture hall, and the student is sitting there in the lecture hall, and the student says to himself or herself, I don't need to listen to the teacher, I know what's going on. How much will they know? How much will they be taught? And friends, if we claim to know God in any other way, other than through what he has told us in his word, we will not know God. A student might turn around and say, well, I'll find this out in the library and go off and look at something, but go off on totally the wrong tangent because he has not listened to the teacher. Likewise, we can go off and try and find God, but we'll end up on totally the wrong path because we have not listened to God. So let me ask this question to all of us here this morning. Are we wise or are we foolish? Are we seeking the truth of God? Or are we hoping that somehow the truth of God will just find us? Are we learning what the truth of God is? Or are we happy just to carry on with the little we do know? Are we applying the knowledge we know of God into our lives? Or is it just sitting in our head? The wise, friends, listen to God's instructions. And in so doing, learn to know who God is and what he has done through the Lord Jesus Christ. But notice here a second thing that the wise have. Not only do the wise listen to the words of God, but the wise have God's protection. Verses 6 through to 11. If being wise means listening to God's word, then it leads to God's protection. Verse 6, for the Lord gives wisdom and knowledge and understanding. And in verse 7, he holds victory in store for the upright. A shield to those whose walk is blameless. He guards the course of the just and protects the way of his faithful ones. You will understand what is right and just and fair. And in verse 11, discretion will enter your heart and understanding will guard you. Do you see there the protection offered by God? Isn't that amazing? If we listen to God, not only will we have a fear and a respect for God and know who he is, but we will have victory in Christ. He becomes our shield, like Paul said in Ephesians 6. He guards us. He protects us. He gives us understanding of what is right and what is wrong. Now let me just pause here for a moment and just give a word of caution. Because Solomon is not telling us here that if we are a Christian, all the struggles and difficulties in our lives will suddenly stop. Solomon is not saying that. Other portions of the Bible easily affirm that that is not what Solomon is saying. But what Solomon is saying is that despite the things that happen to us, could be a car accident, a loss of health, financial issues, whatever it might be, that we have God's victory in our lives, not just here and now, but for eternity. He guards us against false teaching. You ever been in a situation where you know that something is not right? Perhaps that's God saying to you, get out of there. You don't want to be here. God is protecting us against some false teaching. We have discretion. We are able to know this is not right or that is wrong. He becomes our shield and protects us from falling away so that ultimately we have victory in Christ as we live for him forever. Now, an interesting observation to make in this chapter is that wisdom, which we gain by listening to the words of God, is given to us by God. So as we listen to God's words, God gives us wisdom. It's almost a circular argument, isn't it? We cannot get God's wisdom unless we listen to God's word. And we cannot grow in wisdom until we know more of God's word. The Lord gives us wisdom. From his mouth come knowledge and understanding. Wisdom enters our hearts. Verse 10, and knowledge fills our soul. In other words, we are wrapped in the loving arms of our Lord God, knowing that he is in absolute and total control of our lives, whatever might happen in them. But we have this victory that one day we will be with the Lord Jesus Christ, living forever. Solomon gives us two examples then of how God's wisdom protects us. And this is my third comment. The wise are delivered from evil people. So the wise listen to God's word. The wise have God's protection. But the wise are also delivered from evil people. The two examples that he gives we find in verses 12 through to verse 19. The first example is dealing with wicked men. And that men there is the generic term. Doesn't just mean the male species. It means mankind. Whose words, verse 12, are perverse and who delight in doing wrong and rejoice in evil. These are the type of people who are constantly on the prowl to do something wrong. Like the group of friends who's constantly egging one another on to do something bad. Have you ever seen a group of teenagers walking down the street and the one is egging the others on, and then they all start egging the others on, and eventually one of the kids bends a street sign? Just a silly example. Having wisdom of God knows who these types of people are. Knows that it's not a good idea to hang around with them. Having the wisdom of God, we know that we will not get caught up in their shenanigans. Now, perhaps for us sitting here today, we're saying, well, we're not a group of teenagers. We don't walk around the streets bending street signs and causing havoc. But we might be mixing with people who are saying to us, you know, hey, Dion, just don't declare the full amount. Just declare this amount and say that that amount went there, and then you'll get a good 30% back on your tax. See, it might be people who twist our arm to go to places that we shouldn't be going. It could even be our own family members, our kids who say, oh, come on, Mom, just come join us. And you are saying, no, I'm not going to do that. I'm first going to go and listen to the Word of God. Then I will come and join you. Whatever the case might be. In other words, Solomon is telling us that when we listen to the instructions of God and we have the protection of God, we also are able to see who are trying to lead us away from God, who influence us with that bad peer pressure. Verse 12 tells us the wisdom from God, will save us from wicked men. Then we get a second example in verse 16, where Solomon speaks then of the adulteress. Now again, although this is the feminine word here, we are meant to imply that anybody who throws themselves at us in the wrong way, specifically in this example, sexually. This is the person, whether it be the boyfriend or the girlfriend, or having an affair, are constantly trying to get us to do something that we know is wrong. Solomon is saying here is that those who are listening to the Word of God, who are growing in wisdom, God protects us from such people. Apparently, and I'm totally unaware of it, and I'm assuming because of God's protection, in a previous church that I was in, there were a couple of ladies that really liked me and would always come and talk. But I was clueless. You asked Helen about them, and she said, oh, that lady was talking very... And I said, she was? You see, God protects us from people like that and from their evil schemes. But we know in wisdom that we shouldn't be in certain situations as well. So it's unwise for me to counsel a person of the opposite sex if in my office if I'm sitting alone. That would not be a good thing to do. I would call somebody else in, preferably a female, to help with the counseling. It would be unwise to put myself in a situation that would lead to my downfall. And we're constantly warning our own kids and the teens under our care to beware of dangers of various things. Maybe because we've experienced them ourselves. We want them to be wise and to choose correctly. And so in a similar fashion, friends, God's word gives us wisdom against evil people who try to destroy us through sex, through money, through murder, or whatever it might be. So, one final comment then as we look at the last three verses of this chapter. If you listen to God's words, you have God's protection, and you are delivered from evil people. But notice here, there's also two things that happen. And lastly, the wise receive life. Verse 20, thus you will walk in the ways of good men and keep to the paths of righteousness, for the upright will live in the land and the blameless will remain in it. All through this chapter is motivation to live a wise life. A wise life that comes from God through God's word and given to us by God. A wise life under God's protection. To live a wise life protected from evil and adulterous people. And Solomon says, here's two reasons why you should live the wise life. First, that those who follow the wisdom of God and apply it to their lives are the ones who will live. You see there the reference in verse 21, for the upright will live in the land and the blameless will remain in it. Now friends, that has less to do with a physical piece of ground and more to do with the fact of being in the presence of God. Those who are wise, those who've accepted what Jesus has done for us, as God's word has told us, those of us who humbly come and bow the knee before Jesus as he died on the cross for us, as he shed his blood for us, those are the ones who receive life. Not life on earth, but life with God. In a new and perfect earth. But Solomon gives us a negative reason why we should be wise and why we should listen to the instructions of God. Verse 19 and in verse 22. Verse 19, speaking about the adulteress, he says, none who go to her return or attain the paths of life. In other words, if you follow that way of life, you will lose the way of life. And in verse 22, Solomon says, the wicked will be cut off from the land, and the unfaithful will be torn from it. We might think that we're wise enough to live in our own strength, but we will not inherit the kingdom of God. Paul tells us that those who have their evil schemes with their adulterous thoughts will not be part of God's kingdom. Only those, friends, who subscribe to the teaching of God that is found in the Bible and subscribe to it by living our lives for Him are those who are given life. The key to survival, friends, it's not food, it's not money, it's not success, it's not popularity, it's not health, it's not good marriages, it's not having brilliant kids. The key to survival is wisdom. God's wisdom spoken to us by God in His Word. So, really, let's ask the question again. Whose wisdom are you subscribing to? God's wisdom? The wisdom of the Bible, which brings life? Or the wisdom of man, which claims to bring life, but actually leads to nothing but death? Friends, you need to make the right choice on that question. Who are you going to follow? Are you going to accept the words of God and store up His commands within you and turn your ear to wisdom and apply your heart to understanding? Are you going to seek for insight, call out for insight and cry aloud for understanding and look for valuable items and hidden treasures? Or are you going to carry on in your own life? Come chat to me afterwards if you need to know more. Well, let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you for your word. Lord, we thank you for the sobering passage, which just reminds us that our wisdom is in you and not in our own abilities and our own things and the own stuff that we do. Lord, help us to live for you. Help those ifs in these first few verses of this passage not to be ifs, but to be yeses. That we would accept your words, that we would store up your commands within us, that we would turn our ear to wisdom and apply our hearts to understanding. Help us, Lord, to call out for insight, to cry aloud for understanding, and to look for your word and your wisdom as for silver and to search for it as for hidden treasure. Help us, we pray. Amen.